I was thinking back in the day when Netflix got like just started to become like relevant, and I remember getting like my own Netflix account, and I was going through all of the like B-rated movies that were like on there, and there were a lot of really awful ones. There was one of like these people went to like a supposed ghost town outside of like a gold mine, and like wolves were attacking. And that sounds cool at first until like the wolves were not good actors.
Oh,
yeah. Neither were the people. It was supposed to be one of those things where like the wolves were like, you know, dangerous and snarling, but then they were just kind of cute.
Yeah.
But there was one that it was called The Wild Hunt. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but let me give you the premise of it. It is about a guy and is about this guy's girlfriend and his brother that go to this like LARPing convention. So imagine like Renfest, but like people stay there, right, and
that
they
sounds familiar.
Yeah. So, but they
play Pathfinder. We know what LARPing is.
Right.
We're not like those.
We're like, no, I'm cool.
We're like a half a step away from starting to LARP.
Oh, yeah. I just haven't been invited yet. If I got invited to LARPing, I would go. But so the whole thing is that this guy's girlfriend and his brother, they go to this LARPing convention. They stay there for like two or three weeks or something, and then the girl and this guy's relationship is like falling apart. So he decides he's gonna go, and it's all like total fish out of water thing, and it gets really, really crazy because the guy that likes his girlfriend is at this thing, and then he's there to like protect his relationship and stuff. Sounds like fun and interesting. People start fucking dying. It gets absolutely batshit crazy. And it's one of those B movies that I was like, I can't believe like 10 people made this entire film, like behind the camera, you know, not including the actors. It was one of those ones that I'm like, I wish more people knew about it, because it was such an incredible thing that I remember just like sitting in my room watching it and being like, God, this is a ridiculous movie. This is fucking good.
Arguably, the most ridiculous thing is that somebody in a committed relationship LARPs.
That's also true. But
hey, there's going to be people offended by that.
I don't care.
There are LARPing couples out there, and I'm sure they have a specific name for them.
Yeah,
LARPles?
LARPles. No, I actually LARPles. when I was in the
LARPles.
When I was in the tree
all
care.
All 10 of you out there. For the record, I do not have any problem with LARPles. Don't at me on Twitter.
when I was in the tree care business, I worked with somebody who was a bad shit crazy white dude, and him and his wife LARPed, and wow, he was really into drugs.
That's how you get immersed. You smoke a lot of purple haze.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
all I can say is hashtag not all LARPles.
Listen, in the tree company I worked for, you had mandatory drug tests, and for some reason he was never randomly selected. That's all I'm going to say.
Like when you need employees and you don't want to fire anyone, what do you do?
Yep.
You just only drug test the people you know aren't doing anything.
Listen, all I'm saying is in the first year I worked for Bartlett, I got randomly selected 3 times. Yep.
Hey, that's the key to drug test. My brother had a...
Don't do drugs.
My brother had 2 friends. my brother had 2 friends, and they both interviewed, I think it was like NSA or some other like one of the like security organizations. And one of his friends, they both did drugs. One of them who didn't do drugs, or one of them said that he didn't, and like he detoxed for a long time and stuff, and he like said like, I don't do drugs. And like did all the right things, like didn't get hired, and he like failed that part of the like interview screening or whatever. And his other friend was like, yeah, like I do drugs. I've done them in the past 6 months, and yeah, I do. And they hired him.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, all you would have to say is like, the interviewer for the tree company is like, are you a good tree climber? Yes. Do you do drugs? Yes. Okay, fine. Come on.
Since you said that thing about like back when Netflix was big,
yeah,
I just saw like the other day, I think a new Netflix show or movie is coming out, and it's starring Randall Park, who's awesome and hilarious. He's from he's in the Marvel movies. He was in WandaVision, yes, and Ant-Man. He's like the FBI agent that like, mm-hmm,
okay,
kept tabs,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
on,
yeah,
Paul Rudd's character.
Yeah,
Randall Park's awesome.
Well, he's starring in a movie or show about the last Blockbuster on Netflix.
Oh, oh my god. That twist in the knife, son. Yeah, right. They're twisting the knife.
Like years ago, Netflix like offered to buy Blockbuster and Blockbuster gave them the middle finger and then went out of business and yeah. Netflix took over their industry.
Yeah.
And now Netflix is making a fucking show or movie
wow.
about it.
Yeah.
Being and a kid, the guys at Randall Park, which is perfect.
Being a kid that grew up in the late 90s and early 2000s, I have a huge nostalgia spot for Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
oh, mom and dad are taking us to Blockbuster. It's going to be a great night.
Well, now, now you can take solace in knowing that the industry that killed your love is now making fun of it and dunking on it.
Oh, yeah. No. I have a Netflix account. It's just better.
Yeah. Well, what's really funny is that when Netflix started to get big and then they said, how is Blockbuster, how are you going to deal with this? They were like, people just love the experience of coming to Blockbuster.
Yeah,
we will always make money because of that. And then the moment that people found out, wait, I could watch movies from my fucking couch. Yeah.
I don't have to drive to a store.
It never got bad.
Well, man, I remember when Netflix, like in the beginning of it, it was that you had to put a subscription form and they came in the mail.
Yep.
Like,
yes.
And you had DVDs and then you return them. And I was like, that is such a weird practice.
I think your mom, Tim,
still does
the DVDs.
Wait, she still?
I don't think she does it anymore, but she did it up until like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was.
She was still getting
it. Not that
Netflix
long ago.
In the mail.
No.
Yeah. Long after everybody stopped doing it.
Yeah. I think her account got grandfathered in.
I think.
You're the OG Netflix subscriber.
I think Netflix started their like mailing process and they're like, wait a minute, millions of people are still just using like back in the day it was like LimeWire and all these other things. Like, if we just let them do that, we're going to make millions of dollars.
Well, I mean, part of it was the expansion of internet speeds. When internet speeds got better and better, then streaming doesn't take 5 years.
Yeah.
You know?
I had to explain LimeWire to a couple coworkers the other day.
Oh, no.
No. And it was an awesome, nostalgia. Because there was only one other person on my team who knew about it for some reason.
It's like play the roulette system of is this music or is this porn or is this virus?
One of the guys who works for IT who always like sends out the company emails of like, you know, new softwares and policies and stuff, like he always sends out funny things. So he like sent out a funny story about LimeWire. Oh, and I read it, I was like, memories. And then I was like, and I just like put it in our Slack. It was just, like, I remember LimeWire. Great days. And someone was just like, what's LimeWire? I was like,
yeah.
Oh, God. I don't want to feel old from LimeWire.
Yeah.
That's the last thing I want to be aged by.
I wanted to download Crank That Soldier Boy, but I downloaded 12 viruses in a trench coat.
It's like, let me try downloading the Black Sabbath album. And it takes an hour and 20 minutes because I'm using dial-up.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I wonder why this one song is like half a gig.
Why is it like a warpigs.exe?
Whenever it's an EXE, you're like, I remember that. I don't know if I told the story. There was a comedian who was talking about like the days of like when he was using LimeWire.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that him and his friends wanted to watch whatever X-Men movie happened to come out that year.
Gosh.
And he said that, mind you, it's a movie and it obviously bootlegged from some movie theater.
Right.
And he said that, you know, it was so many gigs of data and he's had to sit there. And so he set it up in the morning. He got up early, set it up on the family computer. Luckily, nobody used it throughout the day to like turn off the internet.
Right.
And so he sat there forever and like finally got it to work. And then when him and his friends went to go watch it, it was Russian with Spanish subtitles.
Nice.
And they didn't know anything that was happening.
Oh my gosh. Oh, have you guys ever seen the Amber Ruffin show?
No.
Oh my gosh. So Amber Ruffin is a comedian. She wrote for that one guy comedian who does late night shows. I'm filling the blank.
Jimmy Kimmel?
Jimmy Kimmel.
No.
Who's the red? John. What's the redhead guy?
No, it's Conan the guy. He's got big beady eyes, but he's not Conan.
Letterman?
No.
Letterman's been
anyways, moving on. She writes for late night, and she recently got her own show, and it's incredible, but every once in a while she'll throw in like
John Oliver.
No, not John Oliver.
No,
I know John Oliver. So she has her own show now, and she'll just throw in these jokes that are specifically like for our generation. And like whenever she does them, like the camera pans, and she'll explain it for the younger generation, and it's just hilarious. Like she did one on LimeWire. She's like, LimeWire is what we use to steal music off the internet before Spotify.
you know, they tell you a bunch of things like your parents do about growing old, and say, oh, you'll understand when you grow old. One thing they never mentioned is how it feels to not be the youngest generation anymore. Yeah. It's very strange.
It's very strange, yeah.
Try to ignore it. I got too many other things going on.
Yeah.
I've got so many siblings. Like, my young sisters view me like that now. Like, they're Gen Zers or whatever they are now. And you're just like, you're so old. And I'm just like, no, I'm not.
Shut up.
Rebecca keeps up with their youngest sibling, Chloe, Tim's youngest sibling. So Rebecca has a good relationship with her. So she kind of gets, like, views into younger generation. But now we're talking about being older than the youngest generation, and I don't want to talk about it anymore.
So
I want to go back to the comment of Tim saying that this late night host had big beady eyes.
Big
and
beady
I wonder
eyes.
How that
okay,
works.
Okay. Let me
look. Is that just normal eyes?
Look her up. The whole intention of this opening though was like I want to talk about like B movies, like any underrated movies that you guys know of, because that's mine. Every single time like underrated movies come up, I would say The Wild Hunt.
All right. Amber Ruffin wrote for Seth Meyers.
Okay.
Amber Ruffin is a gem.
I totally know who that is.
Watch her show. She has lots of clips on YouTube. She has a show on Peacock. I don't even like Peacock, but I will log on to that app just for Amber Ruffin. It's so good.
Yes. All right. So back to B movies. Dragonheart.
Like the Sean Connery Dragonheart?
Was that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that would be, yeah. I guess.
That has never really been a very popular movie, but my dad
really
loves that movie, and it just holds a very special place in my heart. Mm.
Ice Princess. Classic.
Man, she asked me this a couple years ago when I was, like, really into, like, indie B movies and shit all the time. I would have a lot of numbers, like, blanking on all of them.
So I am too. I am too.
Well,
right,
it doesn't
now,
matter, because half of this intro is going to be cut because of how long it is.
That's why I literally just went to the first B movie I remembered that was pretty okay in Ice Princess.
I mean, I'm going to go to the best one of all time, and that's Evil Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, technically, yeah. I mean, that does work.
There's nothing more iconic from low-budget B-movies than fucking Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I was just trying to think of, like, what would be considered a B-movie, because at the time I watched it, I'm like, you know, this is pretty good. And now I'm like, oh, if I look back at it. But I guess, you know, the Tremors after the first Tremors?
Mm.
Because... like
barely remember those.
Yeah,
so the Graboids. So
I know of
the yeah,
franchise
the and
I
stuff like that
it.
Because I remember watching those as a kid, and I'm like looking back at it, I'm like, yeah, the effects were a little, but I also liked it. Like it was corny and stuff like that. But yeah, like some of the Tremors movies were just really fun, over the top.
Like. There's a good number of like movies that came out on like the Sci-Fi Channel that were just awful.
Wait, you mean the one was like Dragon War?
Yeah.
My dad was a big sci-fi guy.
Yeah. There were two that I remember specifically. One was Hot Garbage. The other one was Hot Garbage in a good way. There was one that was just called like Ants or Swarm of Ants or something like that. And they would do the thing where they would like take like one CGI shot of like ants coming over the hill, and then use the same shot but with like a binocular filter.
Yeah,
like, oh! Just to like really increased like the time. The other one was Eight-Legged Freaks.
I was just about to say Eight-Legged Freaks.
Yeah. That was it.
I was waiting for you to finish. I was like, does that count as a B movie? Because that one's awesome.
Yes. No, it's a terrible movie, but it's so fucking fun.
I was literally just about to say that.
It's so much fun. It's such a... what's the scene where he like goes up on the dirt bike and like kicks the
he just does like a straight up like drop kick with it. Just pow, kicks it away.
It's so ridiculous.
I mean... They yell at the title while he's killing spiders.
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't like it, Frank. Like shooting him with like a shotgun or something. Like, yes.
Also, Mark, really surprised you didn't go with The Room, but... Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah, but I was thinking of like older movies.
Okay,
like,
yeah. Because
you were kind of bringing up that, and I'm like thinking like, yes, I've seen The Room like once and don't feel like really watching it ever again.
Well, the problem is, Jake, you said B movies, and that is an S tier movie.
Yeah,
that's an S movie. That's a good point.
Yeah, like, what is the definition of a B movie? It's just like straight to VHS release? Because in that case, I'm changing my vote to Winnie the Pooh and the Blustery Day, obviously.
I don't think any Disney product could ever be called a B movie.
No.
Winnie the Pooh, another franchise I never watched.
Right now, the mouse cops.
You know,
right
guys,
now the mouse cops
Winnie
are
the
coming
Pooh,
down to get you.
Winnie the Pooh is triple S tier.
No, guys, do you know Winnie the Pooh and like everything around it is the third most valuable franchise in the world?
Yeah, it is.
So how dare
top
you
five.
Call it?
Mm-hmm. Another thing I never watched.
I watched so much Winnie the Pooh as a kid.
You and I graduated together, Kelly, but I don't think you were a kid ever. I think you just spawned into the world as a high schooler, because that's when I met you.
You're just standing there with a whiskey in your hand.
I mean, the progression of my childhood TV shows that I remember is like I watched Barney,
okay,
and I watched like Dragon Tales.
Nice. Yeah, well, yeah, nice. Solid.
Oh, very good. Mm-hmm. Very
and
good.
Then I'm no watching Ren and Stimpy, Rocko's Modern Life, and the Sci-Fi Channel.
I was never allowed to watch those.
I watched a lot of Hellraiser and like Tales from the Crypt when I was like 7.
We didn't have those channels. So
I skipped a lot of these kids shows. I watched Nickelodeon, and then I watched horrible things that scarred me.
Like I had 4 channels, and like cable was not one of them. So I never had Ren and Stimpy and all that. It was
Pulp Fiction when I was like 10 years old.
Oh my
Probably
God.
Shouldn't have seen that.
No, I really don't think so.
Oh my God.
Like, Hellraiser is like, I mean, it's scary, but it's like creepy scary.
I'm going to go medieval on your ass.
Pulp Fiction, though. Well, there's one show that you should never miss, and that is our show, the Dragon Punch Squad podcast.
Whoa. We're a B movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
probably like C.
We're moving on up. Okay.
Yeah. Go find me later this week for our feature film.
starring 6 people, probably.
Feature film will include scenes like last episode when you guys took down the lightning pillar and the 4 or 5 Sabasons that were that were floating around this thing.
Took down. I think you mean demolished.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raffle stomped.
Yeah, I added a Sabazon because I was like, motherfucker's too powerful. I can't fucking deal with it. And you still just wiped. You wiped it out. So
yeah, once we hit level 7, there was just no fear going into this combat.
Yeah,
none.
Yeah,
it's like 3 Sabazons. We can take it.
You're gonna have to step. Like the book's gonna have to step up big time for us to be scared.
Stop saying that. Stop it. But I also have 30 AC with my shield raised, so I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah,
we're all so powerful now. It's so stupid.
Yeah, when I was going over the numbers and stuff. Like that, I was like, the pillars have a plus 20 to hit, and I actually can't crit Benson now without a nat 20.
Yeah.
Man. Oh my God.
Like, the only thing that's going to crit him are like bosses.
Yeah.
Or natural 20s.
I'm the fucking monster now.
Yeah.
Actually, no. Kezra's always been the monster. I'm just hard to hit.
You're the juggernaut, bitch.
That's how I like to think. Every time you take down one of these towers, it's either you spear it just all the way through, or just do like a Wario shoulder bash and just skip.
Yeah.
underrated part of us leveling up is how much damage they Elk and the Vulture do.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You do so much damage now.
I'm so obsessed with how like Benson gets into combats, and he's the warrior. He kicks stuff up. It doesn't matter. My damage does not fucking matter. I just have to make sure Mark can attack.
It's like, because as long as I hit at least once, I get that precision damage.
Yeah.
But as soon as Jake puts anything, oh, there's no precision.
And yeah,
like, well,
that's true. That's
prick.
True.
You know? But I mean, like getting an extra damage boost.
Well, good to know, because this entire jungle will now be populated by oozes.
It's just sticky business.
And once again, we run into two kobolds.
Yeah, two kobolds. two kobolds chasing oozes of the woods.
We're looking for our sister.
Doblemane, slow down.
Don't worry, I have my wand of water.
Just don't break that thing over.
Two kobolds come up, grab it, throw it in the woods, and run away.
No. They just steal it.
Avatar, give me guidance.
Well,
Abadar ain't shit.
as you guys have taken down this pillar, the lightning pillar, here in this area, I said that the storm overhead had cleared in an almost magical manner as this thing was sort of perpetuating the storm here. What do you guys want to do next? You guys had a path. If everyone following at home, if you look at the hex map, you guys are heading from the northeast, just beyond where the quarry was, where the Cinderclaw mine was, and you guys are heading southwest, just kind of cutting across to sort of make a Z shape as you're going along.
I feel like we really should spend more time at the mine.
Let's go back.
We're looking for new party members, Benson and Elkwood. Sorry, you're out.
Sorry, we have enough gold. We can pay you.
All right,
might be arsenic, ladies.
Yeah. I want to revisit the moving Alceta's ring to the mine operation so we can run the mine from Citadel.
I want to see the operation of taking an ancient elven goddess creation.
I think the goddess might actually take notice of that.
We own a
gold mine now, so we can get the funds to get as many people as it takes to dig up the like 50 square foot Alceta's ring.
I mean,
down to the roots and carry it across the jungle.
Well, I mean, that's with magic. That's what Steve Jobs did.
Yeah. Wait, what? Wait, yeah. I agree to something. I don't know if I know.
I want to know about Steve Jobs moving a transportation circle, too.
Yeah.
Go on. I want to hear it.
That's how we made the first Apple Store.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Yeah, I know the story now by heart, now that you've reminded me.
Just got to read it.
That joke was way different when I said it out loud, and I thought, here we go.
That's like a Norm MacDonald
You
joke.
Agreed, and everyone else was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What? What are you blabbering on about Steve Jobs?
All right, we'll revisit the outside of this ring thing later.
Yeah.
Kill the Santa Claus.
You are closer to it than you've ever been, actually, because you are now more west of the quarry than you have been in like a week or something at this point.
Yeah, the
days are lost on me.
I say we go to the next pillar. I have plenty of healing spells. What say you all?
I'm quite fine to continue fighting. What time of the day is it actually?
I think you got here in the afternoon. Regardless, the next pillar is 2 hexes over, so it'll take a whole nother day to get there.
Time.
Press forward.
Oh man, you mean I'll get all my 4th level spells back?
Oh man.
You guys go really, really fast, suffer a few points of exhaustion. You get to the next pillar.
Oh, and you lose all your spells.
Yeah. You encountered a bunch of stuff. I'll hand wave all of it, but you lose all your spells. You needed all of them.
You guys stayed up drinking all night. Yeah. Celebrating.
None of you slept.
You're level 7. You all think you're gods now.
Railroad.
Wait a minute, Jake. Are you saying we did what we did last night?
Do you guys want to rest here, or do you want to carry on? I'm going to...
If we move further, it will be definitely nighttime throughout the jungle.
Yes. And then you'll be sleeping in the next hex.
I just say we just continue on until it starts to get dark, and then we just set up camp where we are.
Might as well do that.
Post guard.
Kazra really liked the like lightning aspect of this totem.
Yes.
So he is going to take as much time as he needs to like excavate a staff-sized piece of wood out of it.
You're just going to throw that staff of fire in the dumpster.
I like the staff of fire, but you can't always have more staffs.
That's true. That's true.
And if I get the opportunity to craft some sort of lightning staff, I want this one.
Yeah. So I think
it's a dragon pillar lightning.
Yeah.
Lightning dragon pillar. So I'm not going to leave this thing just sitting in the woods.
So I imagine like Kezra, he's like maybe taking some like mundane tools or something, trying to, you know, carve this out. And Adelar kind of jaunts up and he takes out the traveler's any tool.
Yeah.
And he just like, and it becomes like a little handsaw or a hatchet. I'm like, Kezra.
Yes.
You might find this more useful than your dragon claws.
Oh, yes. I never thought we'd find something to do with that useless thing, but this is perfect.
Or 200 gold,
infinitely
son.
Useful.
200 gold.
It is only as useless as one's imagination.
Benson walks up with a smartphone. I'm going to post this to Reddit/woodporn.
Kezra like excavates it. He turns the any tool into like a, I don't know, sanding block, and he sands it down.
We'll spend the rest of the day here.
Yeah, nice.
As well.
Uses the any tool for like, you know, a bunch of things, and then gets this nice little...
That's awesome.
Nice little
blank
piece of lightning wood.
Yep. Walking stick.
Now we just need some very powerful wizard to enchant it, and we're good to go. That's awesome. Can you imagine, like, this staff was created from the destructive god Dahak.
Kezra has craft magical items, so I can... And I'm a fucking sorcerer, so I can make shit.
Oh, man.
So, powerful wizard my ass. I'm the powerful wizard. I have all those fucking crafting skills and like barely use them because we're always moving.
That's one of my issues with the 5e game we play. It's like they created an entire class around enchanting items.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're playing a wizard, it's like I should be able to craft stuff. It's like no, that's the artificer.
Yeah.
No, only artificers mm-hmm. can do that. It's like that makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, I have magical crafting, so as long as I get a little bit of time.
Ooh.
I can make shit.
That's awesome.
Well, you can spend, I don't know, a few hours or whatever, like, trying to rip stuff out and tying it together. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to craft it now, that's up to you.
It'd take a long time.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Crafting
yeah.
a staff's like
a week.
Over a week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you continue your journey then. You are continuing into the next southwest hex. And as you guys are traveling along, make me a survival check as you're walking through.
We use the, what is it, like, I have that compass cantrip, so we know which direction, we're going.
No direction. No direction, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I got 28, so.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Either way.
I'm never rolling survival again.
Yeah.
No, don't do it.
Why would you?
Wait, what?
You can only minorly help or severely
hinder.
Or just
fail, yeah.
Yeah. And you see just above the trees what looks like almost a stone structure.
Oh, hey.
Is this from this area?
No, the next hex.
The next hex.
Oh, and the next hex going southwest. You see just just over the tree line what looks like to be kind of a stone, manufactured stone structure.
Okay.
As you guys approach it, an overgrown ridgeline rises up from the jungle here, presenting a craggy stone face to the south. Perched atop the 40-foot-tall cliff is a mostly overgrown stone temple. A trio of stone balconies extend from the temple's southern facade over the cliff's edge, while several triangular openings in the stone walls that may have once held windows are now filled with packed clay. The building's walls are adorned with badly damaged carvings that may have once been androgynous butterfly winged figures swimming in the sea and flying through the sky.
Desna.
Real?
I'm pretty sure if we check in the basement, we'll probably find another deed, so...
That is how these things work. The deed is always in the basement.
Our group's getting really entitled. We're just assuming everything we touch is ours.
I know.
This is mine.
So Benson is going to, like, hold everyone, or just stop when we approach it. And I don't know if I like the look of this. What do you want to do?
Well, Kezra has some invisibility magic. Elkwood is quite stealthy.
Yes. I can go and take a look.
So around. This was continuing southwest-ish, kind of, in our initial trajectory.
Yep.
Pull up the hex map. Yeah, I need to visualize this.
Sure.
Big-ass temple.
Yep. So, yeah, it looks like an enormous temple, clearly lost to the ages, but it is in this hex right here to the southwest of where you guys are.
That's weird.
We're getting close.
Yep, so just a hex away from the supposed green pillar that you guys are going to next.
Interesting.
Yeah. I like to think we're killing Power Rangers.
It does kind of look like that.
Mighty
the next
Morphin.
One's the Green Ranger.
Dragon Pillars.
They'll never get the Megazord together.
No, because we've already iced yellow, purple, blue. And
I mean, that's how you win, though. You take out and you always have to make the Megazord. And
so Megazord's going to have a few missing limbs.
Yeah. The leg's missing.
Yeah. I'm sorry. How big was this temple again?
Like, say 40 feet tall?
The cliff's edge was 40 feet.
It's
and then
a ziggurat or something?
Kind of. If you want me to take you over to it, I can do that as well.
Take us to the map.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Take us to the other map.
We lack visuals.
In this world, there are two red Power Rangers, though. That's a problem.
Oh, wow.
Fighting for supremacy.
That is interesting.
There's a large main, antechamber here, and then two of them that kind of go off, and then there's, like, three little, like, peninsula outlooks that overlook, like, the 40-foot-tall cliff. That goes directly down into a small landing and then into the river. So you guys are, like, right there.
Dang, this is cool.
It's really cool.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. I'd say Elkwood just starts scaling this place and, looking through.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. As you guys, you want to, like, stealth in, I imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. Well,
just Elkwood, right? We're keeping at a big
distance.
We'll
keep
distance.
Benson does
a reasonable,
like,
reasonable distance within the tree line.
Okay.
And I will... Kezra will go ahead and cast some invisibility on Elkwood, so he'll have 10 minutes of invisibility.
That works. Okay. Because I also get, due to my level 7 feat, I am also taking precautions against other senses.
But before that invisibility happens, Benson is just, do you have any way you can communicate with us if something is wrong?
Yeah, that would be
screaming.
Useful. Well, actually, I might
scream really loud.
I have something for this. And Adelar takes a little dagger, cuts a little, cuts his like hand a little bit, and then carves a symbol. Not carves, but writes a symbol in his blood on your forehead, Elkwood, and I give you life connection.
Ooh.
So if you take damage and you're within 1 mile of me, I will know it, and then I can take that damage for you.
Oh my god!
It's a really cool spell.
That's so cool. Good.
Yeah, all of a sudden, I just take a sword, just stab myself,
and I'm like,
"Oh, wait a minute! That didn't call for that."
He can choose to take the damage.
Yes,
by the way,
yes, yes.
Ah, the enemy got me. Okay, yeah. All right. So cool. That's quite interesting.
I shall know if you could hurt Elkwood.
Alrighty, thank you. I will take consideration for this. I do not know anything about this temple. This is quite strange.
It's temple to Desna the Dreamer.
But it's been here for so long, so something could be occupying inside. But
indeed.
You said there was like clay or something
blocking.
Yeah, the windows were open and they might have had glass in them, but they're sealed shut now.
Right,
clay,
I mean, it's so dark inside, mm-hmm. by the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Say stealth check. That is a dice white dice. I'm sorry, I need light.
you need a spotlight on your desk.
That is 28 for stealth.
28. Yep.
And he's invisible.
And he's invisible.
Automatically undetected.
Yes. Automatically
undetected.
So you stealth your way in, and you can see that there has been someone here recently. It looks like there are some like camping provisions. You see like some sleeping bags, some supplies. You know, you see like a whole box that has like tinder twigs and tent and like a tent set up. So it looks like someone has camped out here at some point. You assume that they might have taken all this stuff to camp out like you guys were, but then they found this place and was like, oh, this is much better than the tent that we've been sleeping in.
And it's like pitch black in there.
It's very dark. It appears to be empty. Otherwise,
yeah, because he'll like stealth in a little bit, and he is taking precaution against other things because with the feet. Like magical senses and all that stuff.
Okay.
So just in case, like alarm spells, whatever.
All right.
Scent.
Like
there's no like that. Yeah. Like that's the whole thing. It's like he now is really has more of an expertise with it.
Okay. You look around. You find some more supplies. Looks like there's barrels of something. You'd have to open it up. There's also more sleeping bags in the other rooms. And you find lots of like a flask of water and things like that. You don't see anybody here.
So multiple people are sleeping here.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
But sleeping bags. Anything about the materials themselves? That they're not ragged? Are they?
They look well equipped. Actually.
So it's not like Charakal.
Exactly. Yeah. Crap. Yeah. Yeah. It looks like whoever came here looks like they were paid well for some kind of expedition.
Due to his nature, he might look in one of the packs. And just seeing what's in there.
You open up one of the packs. You see some like eating utensils. You find some rations, you find maybe a small knife that was used for utility rather than actually an actual weapon. But other than that, it just looks like somebody slept here last night and they have not come back yet.
First floor, or is this their second floor?
It's only one floor.
Oh god. Okay. I thought you said like 40 feet. Like
the cliff itself that it sits over is 40 feet. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So not seeing anybody here. He's gonna go back out and just say this seems to be abandoned campsite almost.
He stabs himself.
Oh! There's an enemy.
I feel like walking back out there.
Deception check. he kind of like invisible, like he's still invisible.
Right.
But he's like, yeah, there don't seem to be anyone here, but a lot of camping supplies. Not charcoal or not, like cult, I would say. They're actually fairly nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have some explorers maybe around here.
All right. Well, you say it's empty.
I mean, I've see no one unless they're invisible in there, but...
You said there were barrels. Did you look in the barrels?
I did not. I could, but from some of the packs that I've looked in, there's just utensils for eating and anything else, so perhaps it's alcohol for you.
Well, I think the reasonable thing to do is just ignore this and walk away.
He invisible walked back in already. And
never mind.
You don't know that. I'm invisible. He's actually going to investigate one of the barrels.
You open up one of the barrels. There are three of them. They are very heavy. You use something to prop it up, and you open up the lid. It looks like there's a bunch of black powder.
Slowly puts it back.
Well, we don't know what that is, right?
And your cigarette lights it.
Oh, yeah, the cigarette that was invisibly smoking. Invisibly smoking a cigarette. But do I get a check? Do I get a reflex?
Yeah, like the windows blow out, and I get the chance to take the damage, and I'm like, no.
No, see, that's
a mysterious black powder. It's a good thing. I'm too stressed.
It's like I have evasion. It's fine. Somehow right. Evade the fireball.
Yeah, let's just all go in because, you know.
Kesra has a plus 11 to crafting. He rolled me a recall knowledge.
Yeah.
Looks like black powder.
Just
shouting. Like I know what it is.
Yeah.
Just shouting outside, there's some black powder. I think it's pepper. I don't know what it is.
You know, I feel like if we're going if we're going to use a spell slot for invisibility, we shouldn't be yelling.
Don't but Kesra walks in, looks at this, sees this black powder, and he goes, this is explosive. This is extremely combustible, explosive black powder.
Keep the stuff of fire away.
Can I pick up one of the barrels?
On the what?
One of the barrels. Can I pick them up?
No. They're very heavy.
Wait, I'm very strong.
I'm about to say.
Yeah, I know. Let me see how much they weigh.
Yeah, how many bulk is it?
He's a strong man.
Let's see.
Barrel of black powder's got to be at least 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, feel like he could pounds, do that. Yeah, I mean,
Benson can probably lift
he could bench that.
100-pound barrel.
Does it even say how
much? You go to try to lift it, and Kesra's like, stop!
There's probably, like, text in the book where it's like, do not let any of your characters carry this shit around.
But, I mean, black powder isn't combustive in and of itself. It needs some sort of, like...
spark.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's flammable.
Yeah. Yes, it needs a spark.
Yeah.
These are made... This is used to make bombs.
That's when you bring the staff of fire. I need to see a little closer.
Kesra takes the staff of fire and just chucks it out the front door. Because it's always smoldering.
Yeah.
Hold on, I need to read this label. Let me get my Bic lighter.
Put that torch away.
Do you remember the scene in The Lord of the Rings where
a worm tongue.
He's leaning
over.
Saruman's making the black powder, and then he's like, "How on earth will this black dust do anything?" And he's the torch right there, and he's like, "Back away, you fool!"
Yeah, that's why. Like he does like that slow like arm like.
Yeah, just shoves him away.
Kesra does immediately take a sack out of his pack and fills it with black powder and ties it off and puts it.
Sure.
Away.
Yeah.
Nice. Yes.
Okay, so it does not tell me how big or how many bulk the black powder bomb is.
It's because I want that to be his weapon. Like, I want Benson to be able to toss it as a weapon and
like Donkey Kong?
Yes. And like just throw a torch after it and it just explodes.
I mean, hey, that would kind of go along with our strategy. It's like, just let him run in with a thing of black powder in his bag. We need to blow it up and then heal him later.
I mean, it'll just be like the Lord of the Rings, like, God, not a reference, but like the orc in the third one.
Yeah.
It's like, with the torch.
Yeah.
He's just running. Yeah.
Three arrows in him.
But actually, now I'm curious, though. You said that, like, all this stuff was more exquisite. Is there, like, labels on anything?
Do you want to do a check on the, the drawings and stuff like that?
Well, yeah, but, I'm thinking of personal experience of how most campers have their, like, insignia of, like...
Something. No, the drawings and carvings are much, much older.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go with, like, campers have their insignia on their black powder barrels.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, like, no, I was just thinking, like, if they're a nicer... a thing, like, I'm just thinking if they belong... Like, I'm getting the vibe of explorers. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is the vibe that I'm
trying to... It seems like people mining for black powder.
Yeah. So, he was just curious if there was, like, anything of nowhere. I mean, because otherwise he'll, like, if there's anything lying around, he might try to take some of it, but...
Does Benson see any kind of symbol of Desna? Inside.
Make me a religion check.
Yeah, I'd already be checking that out.
I'm pretty wicked decent at that.
I would imagine so.
I would hope.
Pally boy.
Was that a...
29.
29 critical success.
Yeah.
You surmise that this temple seems to be devoted to the deities of Desna and Gazre, but it combines their depictions into a singular entity.
Huh.
Critical success reveals something more, that this temple was once devoted not to a combination of the two gods, but a sort of mini pantheon composed of both of them, named Shimye Magala. If you'd like to roll a society check, you can try to, like, work backwards to figure out who made this.
Oh, God, rocks today. 27.
Ooh, I got a natural 20.
Oh, yes.
For a 31.
Ooh.
So you look at the carvings and how they're drawn and sort of the symbolism that's used, and the style itself evokes that of the Banawat people, who today dwell far to the west along the Mwangi coastline. Mm. Are you expert in society by chance?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. you would have just known that anyway from being an expert. But... So you know that those people long admired and worshipped the two deities as equals. The age of this temple combined with the inland location suggests that the Banawit were more widespread long ago.
Hmm.
So some very, very old group of people that have since moved on must have built this to a sort of a combo deity and made this in their name.
That's pretty cool.
Do you think Kezra judging, like, maybe using his crafting check, could he, like, maybe kind of determine how old the structure is?
Much older than the book says, I'll tell you that much. this thing is very, very old. Gotcha. If you ask the Banawat people, they might know about it, but like I said, it's way west. Gotcha. So.
Yeah, they wouldn't be venturing probably this far in anymore.
Are there, like, statues or symbols of the religious...
The main things that you see, like I said, are of like the butterflies and stuff like that. Butterfly is obviously the thing for Desna.
So Benson will take a moment to kneel down in front of them and just show reverence to the religious significance of this place. Not necessarily worshiping, just showing respect. Are we done here?
It seems that way, but now I'm curious.
Is there... in the back of it, is there any, like, looking out over the cliffs or anything?
Mm-hmm. If you go to the back of it, there's, like, three little, like, platforms that you can see there they look over the cliff, and from there you can see, like, the trees, and then there's a bit of land, and then you can see the river eventually. Oh, cool. The river is technically in the next hex, but you can see it from here.
Nice. That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I think Adler would probably gather everyone by, like, maybe the biggest overlook.
It's like, all right, everyone, it's time to get a selfie. Here, use the multi-tool.
It's at any mundane item.
The any tool turned into a selfie stick.
He's definitely interested in this, but he's more interested in these people that were in here. Like, he's going to check to see if there was, like, noticeable footprints, like, where they're leading.
Go make me a survival check. So you see what you can discern from that.
No, I don't waste my...
Probably.
Can I aid him?
You're going to kill it. I don't know. I'm asking you to roll.
Well, I don't know. That's a 21.
It looks like within the past day, like last 12 hours or so, you see that there's a group, at least five people, that have come in and out of here, but nobody's here now, so...
Yeah, Adelar was looking around, too, and he got a 32, so I need to know the exact hour they left.
They left 12 hours ago. So they left this day.
Oh, okay.
So, but because all their stuff's here, you assume that they might be back.
Probably come back.
You would think so. It's dark right now, right?
Well, it depends if we want... Is it dark now? Or is it what time of day is it right now?
Wasn't it afternoon from the previous hex, so shouldn't it be... night almost?
Well, it's half a day for
afternoon too.
Each day is half, each hex is half a day's travel.
By the way, we're just assuming that these people aren't like servants of Tahak, right?
Yeah. That's what I think that's what Adelar was going to bring up next, is like, well, we don't know the intentions of the people staying here. I don't know if it's wise if we stay unless we are to set up some sort of ambush and see who they are.
I believe we should investigate. Anybody mulling around in this area of the jungle with these pillars around and the and these Cinder Claws, they, we need to find out who they are. If they're indeed neutral, then minding their own business, we need to know. And if they are part of the Cinder Claws, then they need to be destroyed.
Yes.
Agreed.
Can I do a investigation of the area to try to figure that out?
Like what their intention is?
If anything in the camp reminds me of any of these multiple Cinderclaw camps that we've encountered.
You can take your time looking. You do not find any Cinderclaw anything.
Okay.
I believe that these just might be like furry mild-mannered explorers that wanted to investigate around here. But they're so fairly deep in the Mwangi, so I wonder where they're from.
Well, are we just gonna set up camp and cook for them when they get back, or what?
Hey, guys, got a nice ice-cold beer for you. You're a long trek.
Thankfully, we have plenty of fire starters.
No, Benson, not a fire
Benson,
starter.
No.
It's explosive.
He's just taking a handful and throws it on the fire.
Like, Kezzer pulls out a chalkboard to explain what black powder does.
Do you remember the Secret Tunnel episode of Avatar?
Yeah.
Where they're with the like hippie group.
Yeah.
They go, well, each of these torches lasts this long, so it'll last the whole time while we're down here, and he lights it all at once. And Sokka's like, not all at once. He has to put on all the torches. You guys could wait here if you want, or you could continue on your current path, and maybe you'll meet up with them, or...
But
it's up to you.
Because I just fear staying.
Can you light up the center, like the map, inside of the...
No, it's a bit black.
Do what?
Inside of the thing on Roll 20. We can't see it.
Oh, you want to see the hex map?
Yes.
I understand.
Oh, not the hex map. We want to see inside the building.
Yeah,
and it's dark.
And then he uncovers it, and then there's like 10 charcoal butchers in there. He's like, I lied.
How did Tarrasque fit in there?
they were sitting around every corner. You happen to be looking.
They're just on their smoke breaks. So they didn't care.
You guys can just see the outside.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Is that the shrine?
Yeah. So, like I said, there are these neat pillars that kind of go along the inside, and then all along the walls, you can see that. But yeah, the different drawings and the carvings and stuff like that, they familiar, but not like, you know, Desna isn't just written under them, and Gazri isn't scrawled, you know. Mm-hmm. So familiar, but not precisely what you remember.
Mm-hmm.
So now, ultimately, the question is, do we stay in here or outside? Because if they come back and we're here, that could lead into maybe a violent misunderstanding.
Here's my thought. We could stake out this place from the outside and see if they come back. Or we could gain control of the inside and have all of the upper hand when they do come back.
It is a defensible location.
That it is.
Yes, we could just post guards or watchmen, and if we, regardless of what angle they come through, we could be like, hey, you know, from afar.
Yeah. This is our castle.
We don't have to necessarily ambush them. This is our castle. We found the deed. This is ours now.
So, you're like...
Wait a minute, what deed? Adela's writing one at that point.
So,
found it under the statue.
So you're like, we could post watchmen, and Benson's already rolling his eyes and walking to the door.
I say, here's what we do. I say we have two of us make camp somewhere in here. The other two of us, when they approach, hide.
Elkwood and Kezron, me and you.
Yes, I say
that works the best.
I should be, you and I should be visible.
You
I'm two, quite a diplomatic.
Yes, you two take the diplomatic route. If they are hostile, then Elk and I will.
Take the violent route if things...
Yes.
Lightning bolt.
Yes, let's have the two utility people and the two damage dealers separate.
We'll just be in the alcoves.
Yes.
I just think it's funny.
All right, so you guys want to bed down here for the night? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the coziest and also most defensible.
You guys are hiding on the outside, right?
No, we would hide in the cathedral.
We're just hiding in the corners.
We would just hide in the corners. Like, so if you're looking at this cathedral, there's like an opening door, and then like you kind of come in. There's like an opening alcove. There's like an opening like main chamber, and then there's like two stairways up into some like wings of the of this, and then there's like some wings that kind of go back behind the main entrance and kind of like these alcoves. So we could just like literally hide behind some walls, stay hidden, and you guys can talk.
Like, try to imagine, like, you talking, or like, hey, guys, seriously, we don't want any trouble, while, like, an arrow is trained, and, like, Kezra has, like, a lightning bolt ready, just as soon as you walk through the door.
Oh, yes, we don't want any trouble, and Benson and me are just...
Right. Like, in this scenario, they would be coming in, and they would be surrounded immediately.
Yeah, we would flank them.
But, okay, so everyone, like, gets the position they want to. It's just Benson... and Adelar in this main chamber. Benson just walks to a wall and just sits down. Obviously, his sword and shield are there. It's like, it's not what you expect in this area. Or this place. A place of order and a place of chaos.
Well, I would not exactly call it a place of order. You know, Gazra is often associated with the uncontrollable nature of nature. The wind and the waves, they have a tendency of messing things up sometimes. So Gazra, at least the followers I know back in Cheliax, they were a little more fanatical and anti-civilization, saying that industry was killing the planet, but, you know...
You show your city folk nature as I show my soldierhood. I consider any place you can get out of the rain and the weather a place of order.
Yes, it is. We do have different perspectives, I suppose, but it serves us well.
And what kind of people do you think stockpile black powder?
Typically people from the south.
Oh, you're here.
We can hear you.
Yes.
he's just laying on his back with his eyes open.
Right.
Shut up.
I'm trying to sleep.
In my time living in Thuvia, there was plenty of ships that would be traveling all over, usually heading south. Lots of dwarves, people with clockwork machinery, things of that. This black powder is important to their industry. I never inquired too much because, you know, I didn't delve in black powder much, but I knew of it.
Quick question, Kezra. If I do what I do, as I Iomide's weapon, if I call upon the light of the Inheritor and I strike one of these barrels, do you think it will go off?
Only if it's fire. Fire is the key to black powder.
I'll remember that.
But yes, it's a coveted material in the south.
Yes, I actually have a recollection of some being cargoed into ships in Absalom. Of course, didn't know where it was headed, but I knew it was highly coveted.
If anything happens and something comes in that we have to fight, I'm going to do what I can to get their attention. I'm going to pull them to these barrels.
You can also roll one at them. I can shoot fire.
No, I can't as well.
Well, these barrels are for some reason so heavy.
Not even God, 1,000 pounds!
If only you were this guy called Donkey Kong. Could easily do it.
I mean, he just has to take a rank in monk and have gorilla stance.
Yeah, nice. Boom. Yeah. Oh, he has to fight a plumber who's trying to climb up to him with his girlfriend.
I just want Benson to, like, straight up overhand, like, soccer throw it. Yeah. 30 feet.
I'm just, that's going to be the strategy here.
Well, you guys, rest. Who's on this second shift again?
I can take two No, we don't take one shift. No.
I didn't really use any spells last time, so I'm just fine. Just kind of, I mean, I want to be like the face of the party when, you know, they show up, so I'll just stay until we see something.
Alright, so, Adler and Elkwood? Okay. While you guys are sitting there, if you guys are making small talk or just sort of admiring this place, obviously, both of you being half-elves, you have a bit of history with Desna, especially. some of your families might have worshipped them or known about them. Some of them probably had a pendant or two from a family member. And if you remember,
I don't know my family very well, and nor does Elwood. But some of the priests, they did like does know.
Well, if you remember that very nice goblin back in Breach Hill, she was a famous Desna worshiper.
Oh, yeah. God, that feels like 1,000 years ago.
Doesn't it feel like 1,000 years ago?
Oh, yes, the House of the Dreaming.
You guys are sitting there just sort of talking about stuff and just reminiscing over Desna. And back at Breach Hill, I'm sure Desna remembers you of Breach Hill. And from out of the woods, you see four figures. You see three Chawarka butchers.
Oh my gosh.
And what looks like a dragon priest.
Oh boy.
Oh man.
But they all seem to freeze in place to you, Elkwood.
Hmm.
And you begin to hear a voice. And I'll see you guys next time.
Oh, what?
That's some wild shit.
Oh boy. What? Oh boy. What?